Welcome to episode 122 of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast for April 23rd, 2009. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. In yet another Fredcast Lite, Tyler Hamilton retires from cycling, a number of product recalls, a controversy at the Tour of Turkey, an upcoming nationwide event, an upcoming worldwide event, and as usual, pod-safe cycling music. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. Welcome back to another episode of the Fredcast, and yes, this will be a light episode, mainly because I am on the road for 2 weeks straight as part of my Fredcast World Tour, and at least the last couple of hotels, including this one, I've had the worst internet access. It's going to take a long time just to upload an abbreviated show, so I apologize for that, but I guarantee you that there's plenty of great Fredcast information for you right here on today's show. But first, I want to stop and thank our sponsor, the Cyclo Club. We've talked a lot here on the Fredcast about Cyclo Club and how it's great for off-season training. But what we've really missed is that Cyclo Club really is for everyday cyclists every day of the year. Because Cyclo Club is more than just at-home workouts. It's complete training programs, nutrition plans, oh yeah, and it's also a community as well, where you can interact with your fellow everyday cyclists in a social media kind of an atmosphere, read their blogs, message with them, get in the forums, ask questions, have your questions answered. It really is an entirely holistic cycling experience and a great place to learn and interact with other cyclists, as well as gaining a lot of insight from Graham Street and his years of providing coaching and training services to cyclists just like you and just like me. Oh, and ladies, have I mentioned that there's an entire section devoted to you as well on the Cyclo Club? And a lot of the content there is courtesy of Georgina Terry, who is well known not just as a woman cyclist, but a cyclist for women. I think you're really going to enjoy that. So go ahead and check out Cyclo Club. There's a great deal going right now on membership. $99.95 for an entire year gives you complete access to the Cyclo Club. Plus, for a limited time, you get the CycloCore On The Go DVD absolutely free. Go ahead and check it out. Sign up now. Go to thefredcast.com. Click the banner at the top of the page. Get involved in Cyclo Club today. And of course, we thank Cyclo Club for their support of the Fredcast. And with that said, it is time for the news. And the two top stories this week, at least in the world of professional cycling, both come with their own bit of controversy. Very different situations, both of them controversial. Let's start with the Tyler Hamilton situation. For those of you who may not be familiar with Tyler Hamilton, let's talk about some of his achievements in cycling. Things like winning Liège-Bastogne-Liège in 2003. Like, for instance, being the current Olympic road racing champion, or being the current United States national road race champion. Tyler has had a long career in professional cycling, including being a part of the U.S. Postal team and protecting Lance Armstrong in several tours de France before leaving and going over to Team CSC. Tyler recently, in the last couple of years, came off of a 2-year ban for alleged doping, and then joined the Rock Racing team, returning to professional cycling just last year, before he won his Olympic gold medal. Unfortunately, earlier this week, it was revealed that Tyler had failed an out-of-competition drug test for a banned steroid called DHEA. As a result of that test, Tyler has now announced his decision to retire from professional cycling. In the announcement of his retirement, Tyler admitted taking an over-the-counter homeopathic antidepressant because he also admitted that he's been suffering depression, something that, according to Tyler, runs in his family. And this over-the-counter antidepressant contained that steroid, DHEA, which is on WADA's list of banned or doping substances in the world of professional sport. The fact that Tyler failed the drug test and that he admitted it really forced his retirement, because once you've been subjected to a 2-year ban in professional cycling, a second offense would subject a rider to an 8-year-to-life additional ban, effectively ending Tyler's career. Despite the fact that Lance Armstrong came back to cycling at the age of 37, Tyler's 38 years old, I doubt he'd be able to come back at 46 if he were only to get the 8-year ban. Tyler is quoted by Reuters as saying, quote, "There are times when you're at such a low point, anything that you can do, if it was taking a hammer and hitting yourself over the head, you'd do it to feel better. I was desperate. Was it the right decision? Absolutely not. At the time, I didn't think about the consequences. The people who suffer from the disease of depression understand my drastic decision." For his part, Michael Ball, the owner of Rock Racing, was quoted as saying, "It's a very tough day for me because my goal was to give Tyler a second chance." As for me, I have a number of friends who know Tyler personally, all of whom, of course, have rallied behind him in their support of the former professional cyclist. Also on a personal note, Tyler Hamilton founded the Tyler Hamilton Foundation with the goal of promoting health and personal empowerment through cycling and supporting efforts to discover the causes of multiple sclerosis. I have a couple of friends who have ridden with Tyler around the world as he's done his MS Global rides this year, going to Northern California, October 5th through the 11th. I hope that Tyler will use his retirement to further those efforts in support of multiple sclerosis. Now, the second controversy in the world of professional cycling took place last weekend at the Presidential Tour of Turkey. It was the last stage of the event, and within the last kilometer, a crash occurred that seems to have echoed around the world, with professional cyclists, casual cyclists, and cycling fans all weighing in on what they think they saw in a video of that last kilometer as the riders were getting ready for a sprint. Within that last kilometer, the yellow jersey was being worn by Daryl Impey of Team Barloworld. He found himself several riders back along the left-hand side as everyone was setting up for that bunch sprint on that last stage of the event. The helicopter shot shows Teo Bos from Team Rabobank coming up along the left side just behind Daryl Impey. They're both very close to the barriers. Now, at first glance, when I first watched the video, what I saw looked like Bos reaching out with his right hand, grabbing the yellow jersey, and forcefully yanking him backwards and to the left and into the barriers. My initial impression was that this was a disgraceful show of unsportsmanlike conduct on the part of Teo Bos. Now, I'm no professional cyclist, but I am a cycling fan, and I've watched a few races in my day, and this looked bad, but the professional cyclists also weighed in. Lance Armstrong, twittering, said, "Bos doesn't even get disqualified. Pitiful. He deserves a long suspension." Robbie McEwen, who knows a thing or two about bunch sprints, also weighed in, initially saying, "Well, there goes Teo Bos's Best and Fairest Award nomination," and then asking people to watch the video, which I've linked to in the show notes. Then he goes on to say, 12 hours later, "You have to watch the Bos thing 30 times in slow motion. I don't think he did it on purpose. Sorry for Daryl Impey." And then he goes on to say, "Last word on the Bos crash. Intention wasn't to crash Impey or himself, but he did. In the wrong, no question. If suspended, 1 month, take it. Done." Again, initially when I saw the video, it appeared to me like this was an amazing display of unsportsmanlike conduct. But then I, too, watched the slow motion video. Again, I've linked to it in this week's show notes. What it looks like, and the problem is the angle from the helicopter is tough, because as Bos comes up along the left-hand side of Impey, you can only see a portion of him. And what you see is him reach out with his right hand, and in slow motion, what it appears is that Bos realizes that he's too close to the barriers along his left-hand side, and he's trying to stabilize himself, keep him out of the barriers, and also keep Impey away from pushing him into the barriers. In doing that, either he destabilizes Impy or destabilizes himself, perhaps pushing himself into the barriers. And as he started to go down, or perhaps because he destabilized Impy, who started to go down, it looks like he's pulling him down, but instead it's just a reflex. This is what it looks like to me, a reflex trying to keep himself and Impy up. Unfortunately, however, the two of them and one other rider all went down, and it did look extremely unsportsmanlike. However, in hindsight, it looks to me like this was completely unintentional. Now, the UCI officials on the scene cleared him. They said that there was no wrongdoing. However, the UCI does have the power to reopen an investigation, and it is quite possible that they might just do exactly what Robbie McEwen said, give him some sort of a token suspension for not for being unsportsmanlike, but perhaps for getting into this dangerous situation and for bringing down the yellow jersey in the way that he did. I think it's fitting that he should get some sort of a penalty for what happened in the event. After all, Impy did suffer some very, very bad injuries, still being in the hospital with two cracked vertebrae in his lower back, facial injuries, and a missing tooth. Plus, it seems to me that no matter what is going on in a sprint like that, you got to leave your hands on your handlebars. And according to a lot of comments from a lot of professional cyclists, they agree. There's a lot of buzz around the internet saying that perhaps Boss should take up hockey instead of cycling, since he seems to like involving himself in these kinds of, well, supposed fisticuffs. Impy did eventually cross the finish line with the help of a teammate with a bloody face and in obvious pain. He is still in the hospital. Our thoughts and prayers do go out to him for a speedy recovery. We'll see what happens to Boss and whether or not there is any sort of a penalty imposed upon him. I'd love to hear your comments on what you see when you look at the video. For those of you who have bicycles manufactured by Specialized, time to listen up, because I've got a couple of Specialized recalls to tell you about. The first one concerns 2004 Roubaix Comp and Roubaix Pro road bikes. There are about 3,000 of these were sold all across the United States at Specialized authorized dealers from September 2003 through August 2004 for the very Fred price of between $1,600 and $4,000. The bikes were manufactured in Taiwan, and the problem here is that there's a cable stop on the bike that can loosen, and then that can cause you to lose control and fall from your bike. Specialized has received reports of two falls that resulted in fractures requiring medical attention and surgery. So this one is very serious. The recalled bikes are 2004 Roubaix Comp 18, 2004 Roubaix Comp 27, 2004 Roubaix Pro 18, and 2004 Roubaix Pro frame set models. Now, only bikes with a single rivet fastening the cable stop to the frame are subject to the recall. The cable stop is attached through bonding materials and a single rivet mounted at the front of the bike. The cables pass through eyelets in the cable stop on the down tube, and bicycles with a double rivet fastening the cable stop to the frame are not subject to the recall. Of course, the model names of the recalled bikes can be found on the top tube of those bikes. As always, stop using the bike immediately. Go to your local authorized Specialized dealer for an approved repair at no cost, or you can contact Specialized toll-free at 877-808-8154, or simply go to the show notes where I have a link to the recall notice on the Consumer Product Safety Commission's website and also to a PDF that you can download from Specialized that will give you more information. The next recall from Specialized concerns about 14,000 2009 model bikes. The issue here is that they've got handlebars that can break, of course, posing a fall hazard to you, the rider. Specialized has received two reports of the handlebar breaking during use, one of which caused a rider to suffer head trauma, which resulted in unconsciousness and a puncture wound to the arm. These bikes were sold nationwide through Specialized dealers from June 2008 through February 2009 for between $640 and $1,050, and they were manufactured in China. At issue here are the handlebars on the bikes, specifically HL handlebars on the following 2009 Specialized model bikes: Cross Trail Comp, Mica, that's M-Y-K-A, HT Comp, Mica HT Elite, Rockhopper, Rockhopper Comp, and Rockhopper Comp 29. The model number of the HL handlebar is ALR-13NTFOV. That's ALR Alpha Lima Romeo 13 NTFOV November Tango Foxtrot Oscar Victor. And that information is located underneath the right hand grip of the handlebar. In other words, you got to remove the grip in order to find out whether or not your HL handlebar is involved. Or stop riding your bike if it's one of those models I mentioned and take it to your local authorized specialized dealer. Let them check it out and they will provide you with a free replacement handlebar. Again, information is in the show notes to the Consumer Product Safety Commission's specific page regarding this recall and also to a PDF that you can download from the specialized website or call specialized at 877-808-8154. This next recall comes to us from our friends at BikeBiz.com, and this concerns 2008 Dawes model Kingpin bicycles. Dawes is conducting a voluntary recall for radius handlebar stems, and those are on 2008 Kingpin models. These were delivered to dealers after May 2008, and the issue here is that they discovered inaccurate machining and inconsistent material quality that could lead to the handlebar stem cracking or breaking. You can get more information on this recall on the Dawes website, and I've put a link in the show notes to where you can get that information. Or if you have any questions and you're in the UK, you can give Dawes a call at 0121-7488-050. And our final recall, that makes four this week in case you're counting, comes from Dahan, the folding bike manufacturer. And they too are issuing a voluntary recall regarding a potential safety issue with seat post bolts on all 2007 model year Matrix, Jack, Espresso, Cadenza, Tornado, and Smooth Hound bikes. It has been determined by Dahan that the seat post bolt on some full-size models of Dahan bikes can break under use and may pose a potential hazard. Again, there are details on the Dahan website, and they do have a fix that they are sending out to dealers for a free replacement seat post bolt. Get more information by contacting Dahan directly via their website, and the information is in the show notes of this week's show. I do have a couple of events coming up that I want to tell you about, and unlike some of the other events I usually tell you about, which are a variety of charity rides and races and things like that, these are events that are taking place either around the United States or around the world. The first one is National Bike Month. Here's the public service announcement from the League of American Bicyclists about National Bike Month here in the United States, which takes place throughout the month of May. And let's not forget Bike to Work Week from May 11th through the 15th and Bike to Work Day on Friday, May 15th. Now for me, my office is a little far, 40 some odd miles or so. So I'm going to have to get a pretty early start on Friday, May 15th, but I'm determined. I'll let you know how that goes. In the meantime, here's the public service announcement from the League of American Bicyclists.
May is National Bike Month. Now, I used to be intimidated at the thought of biking to work. I worried about my outfit, the traffic, and the time. But my expanding waistline and rising gas prices helped me rethink that position. And last May, I tried riding to work. What an amazing change. In the years since I started riding to work, I've lost weight, saved money on gas, and canceled my gym membership. You should try it. Here are a few tips to help you get started. Alter your route for biking. Cars and bikes are both vehicles and both have a right to the road, but you'll feel more comfortable and more able to enjoy your ride if you choose less traveled streets. Ride with a friend the first few times, someone who has experience biking to work. They'll help you figure out how to carry your clothes, where to park your bike, and the easiest way to get to the office. Follow all the same rules you follow while driving. Signal before you turn, stop at all stop signs, and stay in the rightmost lane going in your direction. Biking to work is fun, easy, and enjoyable. Try it. For more tips and techniques on how to commute by bicycle or to find other cyclists in your area, visit bikeleague.org.
If you've got people in your office or in your circle of friends or just in your life who have talked about riding to work or perhaps who have envied you for doing it, you know what? That's the kind of thing to point them to. Let's let them try it, even if it's just during Bike to Work Week or Bike to Work Day. I think once they try it, they're going to get hooked on cycling to work. So perhaps play them that 60-second public service announcement. Play them a 30-second public service announcement. They're both available on the website of the League of American Bicyclists, or just send them the link. I've put it in the show notes so that you can send it off to your friends, perhaps in an email. That's National Bike Month. the month of May 2009, National Bike to Work Week, May 11th through the 15th, and Bike to Work Day on Friday, May 15th. The other event I wanted to tell you about, and it's something I've been telling you about every year since the Fredcast has been going, and that is coming up on May 20th, and it's the Ride of Silence. Again, May 20th, 2009, this is going to take place all over the world, and you can find your local Ride of Silence by going to rideofsilence.org, and I've put that link in the show notes as well. In case you're not familiar, the Ride of Silence began in 2003 when Chris Phelan organized the first Ride of Silence in Dallas after the death of Larry Schwartz when he was hit by the mirror of a passing bus and killed. At that time, even with only 10 days' notice, the Ride of Silence attracted 1,000 riders. And I know that last year, there were events all over the world attracting tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of riders in total. Basically, the way that this works is you join up with your fellow cyclists, and the ride goes no faster than 12 miles per hour. And for the most part, you remain silent during the ride. You're not going to find registration fees. You're not going to find expo booths. You're not going to find sponsors or announcers. This is just a way to commemorate the memory of those who have been injured or killed on the road while riding their bikes, and also to raise awareness of the fact that, well, it is dangerous for us out there on the roads at times, and we want to make sure that motorists are aware of that. So any kind of publicity that you can get for your local ride is always helpful. Oh, and by the way, in case you didn't notice, that's May 20th because it's during National Bike Month, and there's a good reason for that. So that's the Ride of Silence, May 20th. If there's not one in your community, why not organize one? And you can register that at rideofsilence.org. Finally, I've got a reminder for you tonight, and the reminder is, well, about two shows ago, in case you didn't hear it, you might want to go back and listen. I interviewed my friend and my tour coordinator for this year, Jennifer Sage from Viva Travels, and we were talking about the upcoming Fredcast tour of the French Alps. This is taking place this coming September. We're calling the trip the Chasseurs de Col, which means the Coal Seekers, and it takes place September 5th through 12th, 2009. If you book your trip and reserve your spot before the end of April, so just a couple of days left, we're going to be giving you $200 off the trip price, and that is our cyclist economic incentive plan. Imagine going to the French Alps and riding some of the most famous climbs in the world, climbing up to 12 of the most famous cols, including the Colombier, Four Claws, Madeleine, Telegraph, Galibier, my favorite, and don't forget the 21 infamous or famous switchbacks of the Alpe d'Huez. It's going to be a great trip. It's very well priced. It's going to be a lot of fun. Please plan on joining us. You can get more information by going to the show notes for today's show and clicking on the link, or simply go to vivatravels.com. I can't wait to ride with you in the French Alps this year. We're going to have a great time. Sign up now and save $200 per person. Well, that is going to do it for this week's episode of the Fredcast. We'll be back in a couple of days with another episode, but in the meantime, I do want to thank our sponsor, Cyclo Club. Don't forget, go to www.thefredcast.com and click that banner ad at the top of the page to get more information on how you can join for a year of Cyclo Club membership, getting all that great content we've been talking about, and get the free DVD as well. Again, that's Cyclo Club. It's the place to go for the everyday cyclist. Get more information at www.thefredcast.com. And that's a great segue into how to contact the Fredcast. Of course, you can go to our website anytime. It's thefredcast.com, or now just simply fredcast.com. That's where you can keep up on everything that's going on here at the show. And if you want to keep up on everything that I'm doing, including all sorts of inane comments about trying to win tonight's $155 million lottery, you can get that by following my Twitter feed at twitter.com/fredcast. And of course, you can send me an email anytime. The email address is thefredcast@gmail.com. And with that, it is time for just one more thing on this week's episode of the Fredcast. As always, it's time for PodSafe cycling music, a little bit of new music from independent artists who support podcasting by allowing us to play their songs on our shows. And I always pick songs that I think will go well with cycling, hence the name, PodSafe cycling music. Tonight's song is by somebody who's been on the show before. This is Matthew Ebel playing A Cautionary Tale. We've got the song on music.podshow.com. I've got links in the show notes to Matthew's website, as well as to where you can find him on the Podshow site and where you can buy his music on iTunes. So I know it was a short show. We will be back in a couple of days with an extended show and some more information for you. But between now and then, enjoy the music. But most of all, enjoy the ride.
Ran away and they boarded up. To the king a note was brought. Did you think it was with mice we fought? Now that we know what Madden's meant, we can make you lose your mind.